Good evening. I'd like to call this public hearing for the 2011 tentative budget for the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Thank you all very much for coming. I understand there's some people in the hall. Is that right? Nobody. This is it. Okay. Well, welcome. We have a number of people who have signed up to speak. I'll introduce Jim Dennis in a second. I just wanted to mention that you'll all be given time to speak. So you have with a three-minute time limit, and Kathy Covert will help you keep track of that. Comments can also be submitted to the legislature through email directly to Kathy Covert. That's ccovert, C-C-O-V-E-R-T, at tompkins-co.org, or by phoning 274-5434. Or sending a real letter to the legislature at 320 North Tioga Street, 14850. Kathy will make sure your comments get to all the legislators. So with that, I'd like to turn the meeting over for an introduction by Jim Dennis, who's chair of the Budget and Capital Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martha. Good evening, everyone. I want to run through a couple of things, two or three things that we have done at the Expanded Budget Committee, which is the group of all 15 legislators, and how we got to where we are right now. At the beginning of the process, the county administrator is asked to put together a budget with the department heads. Before that, the county legislature had a meeting and said, we want a 5% levy. A majority of us said, we want a 5% levy. That's what we can possibly deal with for 2011. The county administrator met all summer long with department heads, ended up with his budget, came back to us in September 7th, presented the budget. So we started out with a budget with a 5% levy increase. It was a very strong and sometimes tense discussion between all of us here at the legislature to even have that levy number of 5%. But I will just say to you one thing, two facts. Our cost of pensions and health insurance costs for the county for this year would cost us 5% levy. Having done nothing else, we would have to add 5% just to cover those costs that we are obligated to do. There's a sheet that looks like this in the back of the room on the table, and I just want to kind of run through that for the people that are here. Our total local spending in this 2011 budget is $74,961,000. It's a 1.35 increase from 2010. The tax levy increase is a 5.9% increase over 2009. The tax levy is the total amount of the property tax revenue needed to balance the budget. The countywide average tax rate is $6.40 per $1,000 of assessed valuation. That is a percentage increase of 7.9% on the tax rate. Translated, the average $160,000 home would add $75.30 to their tax bill. Over the two-month period, the legislators acted as the Expanded Budget Committee, which I began the discussion about. We started with the budget, and during the review, the committee made a number of changes, which amended the county administrator's proposal and added $375,276 to the tentative levy. And that's where we end up with the 0.98. On November 3rd, the legislature approved the package, which included the Expanded Budget Committee's recommendation amendments as a legislative tentative budget, which forms the basis of budget deliberations from that point on. The legislature can further amend this budget, the tentative budget, before final passage. It is our hope, and our hope being the legislature's, that the budget adoption vote will take place on Tuesday, November 16th. Up until that point, any legislator is offered the opportunity to make an amendment to the budget. And that may or may not happen, but on November 16th, we will then proceed to vote on the budget, and 8 votes are needed to pass a budget for 2011. Having said that, if by some quirk of nature we are unable to end up with an actual passed budget by the 15 of us around the table, the county administrator's budget would then be the budget that would move forward in 2011. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Joe, is there anything you'd like to add to that? County Administrator Joe Mariana.
I think that summarizes most of it. I might just add a couple of things. When the budget process began back in April, and this is a very long budget process that began back in April, we estimated that the cost just to maintain the current level of services would have resulted in a tax levy increase of about 10%. So when you look at the current tax levy, it should probably be put in that perspective. And as the summer went on, we recalculated that, and it really would have taken about a 12% levy increase to be able to just keep things the way they were. So again, in terms of perspective on the levies that the public will be talking about tonight, I think it's important to remember where we started. Just a couple of notes on things that were added over the course of the last couple of months that have altered the budget that I presented. This budget does add about $147,000 in rural youth programs to restore about half of that program and to support the administrative services provided by the cooperative extension. There's about $346,000 of restorations in agency-provided child welfare services. So that was a significant change from the budget that I proposed. Some of that was offset by the application of $100,000 in what's called rollover money, which is carryover money from the Department of Social Services to help offset the cost of that. There was also a $50,000 restoration of funds to the day reporting system. It's still a lower budget than the year before, but it restored about half of the amount that I had proposed reducing. There was also a reduction of about $100,000 in highway maintenance funding. So although there were many changes to this budget, those 4 or 5 things explain much of the variation between the budget as proposed and the budget that's being reviewed tonight.
Thank you, Joe. And you have the PowerPoint in the back, the handout.
So. I think Marcia has had enough. There is a PowerPoint that is available for distribution that explains kind of the mandate pressures that all counties in New York State are up against. And again, in terms of providing context for the budget, that may help explain some of the things that are shaping the budget that's on the table tonight.
Thank you, Joe. Jim, back to you.
Thank you, Martha. There is one other document at the back of the room. It's a primer on tax cap. That's a very popular word these days in government. And there are many copies back there on the table, and we ask the public to take a look and study it. And that's our take on what tax caps would mean to this county and almost every county in New York State.
Thank you very much, Joe and Jim. I just want to mention that this is we had, I think, 13 meetings. In the neighborhood of 3 to 4 hours each meeting in deliberating over Joe's budget and making the choices that we have made, very tough choices. But tonight is our turn to listen to you. So as I said before, if you've signed up, that's great. If you haven't signed up, that's also okay. After I get through the list, I'll ask for anybody else who would like to speak to come to the microphone. So again, please, 3 minutes is your time limit. But if you have more to say, you can certainly hand a written statement up or comment to us directly through other means. And if you would just state your name and where you live, that would be great. First person is Shanna Honeycutt, and followed by Barbara Berry.
Good evening. I'm Shanna Honeycutt. I'm from Ithaca. I'm here on behalf of OAR. I'm nervous, so forgive me. It's my first time. Basically, I'm here to represent OAR. It's a program that a lot of people do not know about. It's a non-organization program. I'm one of the people that they took off the street and led in the right direction. I did a lot of things that I was not proud of. I wrote bad checks. I went to prison. I put my family in jeopardy. Because of these women, I have my GED. I have a strong foundation. I have a home. I have custody of my children. I have my family as a whole with me today. I am a student at TC3. Della, Mary, and Deb have become my extended family. I just need the community to know it's not just based on what they do for people in prison. It's also people within the community. It's letting people know that their services go beyond just helping families. People need to know more and more and learn more about OAR, especially from the people that go there, and I'm one of them. Daily services are provided to help find jobs, housing, literacy. I was one of the people that could not read. I could not comprehend what I was reading, what was being told to me. And because of these women, I am here today to say that I am strong, I am an A student, and I am a mother first, teaching my children that anything is possible as long as you believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Barbara Barry, followed by Ron Provost.
I'm Barbara Barry. I'm from Lansing, New York, and I'm here to represent Municipal Youth Services. I have been working with Youth Services for many years. I'm part of the Lansing Youth Service Commission, and I want to thank the legislature, first of all, for restoring part of the funding for our program, because it is an invaluable program. It's just, I don't think I can convey how important this program is, particularly to rural areas. I've raised my own children in a time when it didn't exist. And I see the big difference for the children now in Lansing schools that this program is here. So I appreciate very much that you decided to acknowledge that and give us some of the funding. I guess I would urge you also to restore the rest of the funding, because what the funding cuts are going to mean, it's going to be very difficult for us, particularly to do the municipal jobs program, which provides wonderful experience for young people, pre-employment experience for young people when they go into the workforce. The last thing I want to say is that I guess a fellow Lansingite came to one of the earlier hearings, and he was quoted in the paper as saying that he never thought he would say this, but there are times when raising the taxes is important, and this is one of them. When the programs for young people are put in jeopardy, that's a time we really should think about paying a little more. And I would go even a step further than that. I have never objected to paying taxes, and I don't object to paying more taxes. In fact, I think you get what you pay for. And in this case, I think we really need to look at paying for the services for our children so that they're well nurtured and cared for in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Ron Provost, and then Valerie FitzRandolph.
I'm Ron Provost. I live in the town of Ithaca, and I'm a volunteer with the Human Services Coalition, and I work on the review committee. We work from April through July of this year, and our job was to research all of the organization's grant requests and physically meet with the executive directors and the volunteers and the clients of these various organizations to make recommendations to the county legislature on how the funds request should be approved. After speaking to many of the clients, and I'm glad that some of the folks are here tonight, we are in a world of hurt. I've never seen it this bad, and I've been doing this almost 10 years. So we would ask that you would support our Human Services Committee community. I don't know where the funds are going to come from. So many of these organizations are dependent on the state. With so many of the folks changing their positions in the state government, we're really not sure that all these folks are going to get, the various organizations are going to get the monies they need to support their prospective communities. So please remember your Human Services Committee and do all you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Valerie Fitz-Randolph and then Rich Couch.
Good evening. My name is Valerie Fitz-Randolph. I don't actually reside in this county. I live in Candor, New York. However, for the last 2 years, I've worked as a volunteer at the Ithaca Free Clinic. I stand before you tonight as a private citizen and as a clinic volunteer, concerned about funding for the clinic and for human resources in general. As a volunteer, I've engaged a variety of administrative duties at the clinic, including reception, discharge, data entry, and data analysis. I've been continually impressed by both the commitment of the individuals who work at the clinic and the caliber of those individuals. It is a unique place to work, I believe, because each and every person there is holding themselves to an ideal above money. It is a non-competitive atmosphere where cooperation and shared achievement are the first goal. For me, that goal is expressed as a desire to help others who find themselves in need of medical care but lacking financial resources to obtain them. Contrary to what many believe, a large portion of the people we provide medical care for are employed. However, their employer does not provide insurance, or their insurance is unaffordable. Some are underemployed or unemployed. Some work jobs that pay insufficient wages to bear the burden of the cost of insurance. When our clients become ill, they usually wait to the last minute, agonizing over the expense of a visit to the convenient care center or the emergency room. Usually, they ultimately decide to come to the free clinic. When they arrive at the clinic, they find a warm and welcoming atmosphere. Our medical care is given on a first-come, first-served basis, and many clients are surprised to find that we offer services beyond primary care. The professional staff is very dedicated. During an average clinic staff shift of 4 hours, the physicians may see as many as 16 to 20 patients. Frankly, it amazes me every time I work there, how much care we're able to give with so few resources. In these uncertain economic times, the caseload at the Ithaca Free Clinic continues to increase steadily. I never doubt that we're providing a critically needed service. During every shift that I work at the reception desk, where I have a chance to engage in conversation with the clients, our patients tell me their stories and bear all these things out to me. Now more than ever, we need the financial assistance of the Human Resources Coalition, and I implore you to maintain that funding for this vital community service. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. Rich Couch, and then Barbara Logan.
Good evening. My name is Rich Couch. I'm Director of Advocacy for the Crisis Program. We work statewide advocating for New York State roads and bridges. On a personal note, I grew up in Mike Lane's legislative district, and my mom and dad still call Dryden home. I'm here this evening to address highway infrastructure issues in Tompkins County. Statewide, 38% of our bridges are deficient, and half of the pavement is fair or poor. Tompkins County owns 55% of the bridges in the county. That's 108 of them. Of those bridges, 43% are deficient. So you're lagging behind the statewide average. Cuts at the state level have hurt roads and bridges as much as they have many other programs. We realize that. New York State DOT's budget was cut $1 million across the board. Their capital projects budget was funded at just 67% of need. New York State should be replacing 160 bridges per year. They can only afford to replace 125. They should be replacing 3,200 federal aid miles of highway each year. They can only afford to replace 2,300 miles. I understand all of you who live in Ithaca and wake up to WHCU this morning heard Dave Veazer advocating about closing rest areas. Dave and I are friends, and we talked about this. Quite frankly, I told him I'd rather see DOT spending their money on asphalt, steel, and road salt over Charmin and Scott Tissue. He didn't agree with me on that, but I think we're still friends. In Washington, a long-term federal highway bill is 18 months late. Even our friends in Washington tell us not to hold our breath when we inquire. Please don't follow the poor example set by Albany and Washington as far as our infrastructure is concerned. Failure to fund roads and bridges is troubling for me on a number of reasons. Bad roads cost all of us. They reduce gas mileage. Potholes and other deformities ruin tires and destroy suspension systems. According to the Pacific Institute on Research and Evaluation, 52.7% of all traffic fatalities are because of bad road conditions. We partnered with an interest group and research group out of Washington, D.C. last year. According to their findings, in New York State, you're paying between $818 in Rochester and $1,888 in New York City every year additional for car repair costs due to New York State's roads and bridges. In the Syracuse area, where Tompkins County would fall, it's an additional $860. So what New Yorkers aren't paying in taxes, they'll be forced to pay at the gas pump or the auto repair shop, or as I mentioned previously, they may pay the ultimate price with their life on a New York State road or bridge. We hope to avoid that. Please fund local projects to the best of your ability, and I hope all of you will advocate to lawmakers at the state and federal level, letting them know that 38% is not acceptable and you need help with your 43% here in Tompkins County. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Rich. Barbara Logan, and then Doug Stamen.
Hello. My name is Barbara Logan, and I'm on the board of the Learning Web. I'd like to share with you some information about one of the youth who is just beginning in the Community and Career Exploration and Apprenticeship Program, or CEAP. This is a 17-year-old young man from Cuga Heights. He was referred to the Learning Web by the probation department. He was not doing well in school, was in constant conflict with his father, and in trouble with the law. His social skills are lacking, and he needs a mentor who could help him to mature and grow in a positive and healthy way. This youth is typical of the youth that the Learning Web sees. They come from all walks of life. 80% of the youth have some sort of risk factors in their lives, from dysfunction in the home, to mental health issues, to extreme poverty, to a lack of academic and cognitive skills. And we often find that the 20% without risk factors are indeed just in need and help, just in need of help as well on their journey to adulthood. Thank you to the legislature for realizing that adolescence is a difficult road for many and that youth development programs are part of what makes Tompkins County a leader in the state and a place in which to be proud. And I'd just like to echo the woman from Lansing who said that you get what you pay for. I work as a counselor at TST BOCES, so I work with students from Seneca and Tioga counties as well as Tompkins. And it really breaks my heart the lack of support that the youth in Seneca and Tioga get. So I really hope that Tompkins can keep their leadership in the youth development area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. Doug Stamen, and then Dr. Judd Kilgore.
Good evening. My name is Doug Stamen. I live in the city of Ithaca. I'm the president of the Learning Web. Hope you can hear me. I want to first say thank you. Because as now we're all going to maybe say that it's difficult to raise taxes. And I moved here from Texas, from a community that would never raise taxes, and you do see the difference. And it makes a real difference to our community. I think you guys really have to make some tough decisions, have made some tough decisions. And we really appreciate that you've added money back to the youth services, and in particular the Learning Web, for the work that they do. And I think it's very important work. And it's really valuable, and we appreciate you guys working hard and thinking about it and adding money back. My son was an apprentice, and it really helped him, but he's has a lot of resources, and Learning Web helps kids with resources, but also a lot of kids without resources. I teach up at Cornell, so they gave me somebody to give you an example of a student from a rural high school, comes from a difficult home, good at science, but with bad social skills. So the guidance counselor sent this youth to the Learning Web. Learning Web placed him at a lab at Cornell. He's not only learning to love science and all the opportunities that are available in science, but also the kind of work skills that it takes to succeed in that field. And so your funds really impact the community in a significant way, and I think make us the kind of community we are. So I just want to again say thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Dr. Kilgore and then Dale Schumacher.
There's an old adage that the squeaking wheel gets the oil. I've never heard so many worthy squeaking wheels in one short period of time. My wheel is the free clinic. And I think that it's of interest to know that it's not anywhere on here that it's on a mandated service that is going to be cut. We are sort of, aside from the Ithaca Health Alliance, we're more or less sort of free-floating. And I would echo what a previous speaker has said about the wonderful nature of our volunteer program and the professional staff. The general state of the economy is not likely to improve, and with the added space that we have in our new free clinic building, I foresee that we're going to have an increase in our clientele. And we are, people have that aren't involved in the clinic have a very skewed idea of the type of person that might go there. Most of them are unemployed or underemployed. I see more single moms working two jobs that have too much money to apply for Medicaid and not enough to buy insurance. I see Cornell students between semesters. I see the parents of grad students who are here visiting from Tibet and Bhutan and Indonesia, people that otherwise would either get no treatment or have to go to the emergency room or to the convenient care. And the people that come in are generally fearful of having the kind of workup that as a doctor I feel is necessary. They don't want to go to the hospital to get blood work because they get charged just as if they had insurance. They don't want to get x-rays. And so in a way, it's like one of my colleagues at work, Dr. Ginsberg, said, it's almost like third country medicine. I won't belabor the point. You have enough other things on your plate. Thanks for the help we have had in the past, and just remember that we're still there. We'll need all the help and support that we can get.
Thank you, Dr. Kilgore. Dale Schumacher, and then Joan Farbman.
Good evening. I'm Dale Schumacher. I'm the executive director of the Learning Web. Excuse me. And I live in the town of Ithaca. Thank you. Thank you for persevering. Thank you for your struggles and your joys and your tribulations and your arguments for the last 2 months. You haven't heard from me for those 2 months a great deal. I think you know where I would stand and where my passion lies in terms of the Learning Web. I've often said over the last several years that the Learning Web is more than happy to take our fair place in helping to balance budgets and have everyone else take their fair share. Thank you for putting money back in, even if for only a year. Thank you also for putting money back into the shared municipal monies for youth programs. As much as I comment that you haven't heard from me over the last 2 months, over the next 12 to 24 months, I hope to correspond with all of you often. I think we've done a poor job in letting you know the positive effect of youth development. We're not talking about recreation only. We're not talking about a club someplace where someone does something. And I'll leave it that vague. We're talking about youth development. What does it take for youth today, not when I was a youth, but today, to go from adolescence to adulthood? I'm glad I'm not doing it today, but I do know how to help smooth that trail for the youth that we see. And some of the testimony from a couple of our board members speaks better than I can in terms of real examples of young people. And the Learning Web is proud to say we have a very blended program. We don't care who you are, where you came from, or how much money your parents have, you're welcome, and we have a program that will be good for you, actually modeled after your own interests. I will say that what you've done in the last couple of weeks really resonates with me. If you're going to build community, we all need to share in the celebrations, and indeed we all need to share when it's time to feel the pain of budget cuts. And that, I think, you've shown at least to me, and I do indeed thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Joan Farben and Micah Plinkelaer.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Joan Farben. I'm from Danby, and I'm the executive director of the Advocacy Center. We provide services to crime victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and child sexual abuse. I will add my voice in saying thank you to the group. I'm glad that I'm not you at this point doing this work of working on the county's budget. And I do want to say thank you also for restoring our DSS grants, most particularly those for the COPS program for our youth services to kids who are witnesses to domestic violence and youth who have been sexually abused. I decided to bring one of my clients here with me tonight. This is the only way I could get somebody to come. It's very difficult for people to speak out. This is someone in one of the groups. We have groups for kids, teens, and adults who are survivors of child sexual abuse. And this one is a picture of a group, and the person says, "I was brave and told the group about the incest. I said out loud that I was scared. I will make myself safe. The abuse will stay with me forever." Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Micah Plinkelaer and Susan Soboroff.
Micah Plinkelaer from Town of Lansing. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate your having this hearing, and really want to commend you and, you know, say how admirable how many hours you've put in. I know that over September and October, it was over 40 hours of basically budget hearings, particularly for some of the new folks. It was really valuable. I would, as a side note, encourage you to try to condense that in future years so that not everyone has to go through that. And, you know, being on the legislature previously, you can see that there are cycles. And the first year, of course, you want to educate each other and all of you together. But in years going forward, you may want to see if you can put those 40 hours maybe into a shorter period of time. The Democrats across the nation, as our president said, took a shellacking because they were not actually paying attention in some level to a conservative element across the country. And I think we in Tompkins County have to actually pay attention to that too, or we're going to have to face it or ignore it at our peril. I think you're aware, I think everyone in Tompkins County is aware, that the increase of the tax rate is not sustainable that you're at right now. I understand the reason why it's there. I think there's a balancing act that you're all doing, and again, it's admirable, but it is not sustainable. And I think I'm going to try to give you a few systemic approaches that there are some opportunities missed that maybe next year you can tackle. Again, once you've had this educational year under your belt, you can work harder to look at the system-wide approaches. Back in February, you had the opportunity to have a retreat to actually look at prioritization across programs. I know, again, with new legislators, it was hard to do that, but I think now you have a foundation that I think you should, with rigor, with discipline, attack what are key central county programs and what can have high priority and what have lower priority, so that the entire organization, the entire community can have a conversation about what is essential. I think to not do that and to set a budget target in the April retreat is sending part of a message but not a full message in terms of what you as representatives believe are the priorities across the county, so the organization can adapt and reorganize. I think you're already aware of this, but mandate relief is a key area. I think there are some mandates which we don't have to necessarily enforce. There are some mandates we can fight. I said in the past that the increase of the jail five extra officers at the jail is not necessary, depending on the how many people are in the jail, and I think that can be negotiated at the Commission on Corrections. Those are the kinds of things that we can tackle. We can look at you know, some of the other mandates that we don't have to necessarily follow through, and it's not going to decrease our, you know, public welfare. I think investing in partnerships, the Health Insurance Alliance, it took almost 4 years of planning, is a great example of that. There's plenty of savings there, but there's plenty of more savings through collaboration, inviting community partners to participate. I think cooperative extension is one example of that, that you don't necessarily have to pay benefits, but you're getting lots and lots of community volunteers. You've heard organizations tonight where there's lots and lots of community volunteers leveraging your investment. So I would invest more in partnerships across the community. I would incentivize innovation. I would actually look for grant funding, and there has been a small amount of grant funding available for Tompkins County, to put out some dollars to encourage department heads, encourage employees, and encourage the public to suggest programs that will save dollars. But you need to invest some dollars to kind of incentivize that. And I think there are ways you can get grant funding for that. So part of that, I think, also is to educate the public about what we do. The public does not necessarily know all the breadth of the programs. I think throughout the next year, throughout the next 2 years, to methodically go through what does Tompkins County do for the residents will be a very useful activity that they then will help yourselves, but also will help the public be able to prioritize. And finally, I think that there are ways that we can ask those who can pay more to do so. There are programs that could have sliding scales. We have existing fee structures that we could add a sliding scale to. And I know we've explored this in the past, but there are ways that literally on the tax bill, we could offer a way that people could give more above their taxes if they feel inclined. And there are people here tonight and there are people across the community who've said, I'm willing to pay more taxes. I think there's ways we can ask them to do that, and they could target certain programs. So thanks again. Very commendable how much time you put in. And I hope in year two of your time together as a body, you can follow some of these ideas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Susan Soboroff, and then Jeff Ives.
Evening. I'm Dr. Susan Soboroff. I'm a family doctor, and I live in the city of Ithaca. Thank you for your attention, your time, your hard work. I represent the Ithaca Free Clinic, and I also want to appreciate your support for the clinic in the past, and urge you strongly to support it again this year for reasons that have already been stated by Valerie and Judd, and also because in my time as a volunteer there over the last 4 years, I've seen the clinic grow and mature into a very well-organized, quality care, and comprehensive healthcare facility that provides a service that no other healthcare facility does in the area, and that's free care for people who do not have insurance. I saw a young woman today from Seneca Falls. I've seen people from Watertown and Binghamton. I mean, this is a unique place that provides not only quality primary health care, but also specialty services and a range of other services like acupuncture, massage therapy, occupational therapy, all kinds of other services. And as you know, given the state of our economy, the need for providing care to uninsured people is only going to grow over the next several years, and your support would be much, much, much appreciated and needed. So until we have national health insurance that covers everybody, and because the numbers of uninsured patients is only going to grow, I hope you'll support the Ithaca Free Clinic again this year. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Soboroff. Jeff Ives is the last person signed up, and anybody else who's interested can certainly follow Jeff to the microphone.
Hi. I'm Jeff Ives. I'm from Enfield, and I'm one here to talk about the rise in taxes and the effect that it's had on the homeowners, because I am one. I have looked at the budget and looked carefully, and you look and you see these terrific programs that, and we've heard stories, and there's no question that the legislature is trying to meet its mission statement of compassion and mercy to the people who cannot provide services for themselves. And as I look through there, and there may be some small cuts that I think could be made, that's not the essential point. There are two points that I'd like to make. One is that the rise in taxes is affecting me and my family. You know, the additional $75 or so yes, that can come out. But before it was another rise, the year before and the year before and the year before, and we've heard this, keep hearing this word about sustainability. I do worry. I definitely worry that in several years I will not be able to pay my mortgage. And then what am I going to do? And then who is going to support these wonderful services? So then it's, well, what is cut? And how can we continue with this? Well, if we look at the budget, and it's been noted before, what are the key factors that may be cut? And I looked at the fringe benefits of the employees, and I calculated them. These fringe benefits are 2, 3, and 4 times higher than what I am, and I think my fringe benefits are good. I'm an employee of Ithaca College, and I think my retirement plan and my health care costs, I think IC does an admirable job in covering our costs. But then I look at the fringe benefits of the other workers that are on the public money, and those are astronomical. And I know that many of those are mandated by the state, but I think it's time that the legislature, right here and right now, makes a stand. And I'm asking you to make a stand. Now, what that may look like, it may look ugly, but something has got to give. And exactly how that might look, I'm not sure. I don't wish any program to be cut, but if you look at some of the costs of some of the personnel, they do not seem in line with what the current economy is, or for that matter, with the private sector or any other workers, as far as I can tell. And something has got to give. And I would just ask the legislature really take a close look at that. And I think that that can be done while the services remain. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature?
My name is Philip Cox. I was here a couple of weeks ago on behalf of Catholic Charities. And tonight I would just like to add my thanks and to the thanks of our board of directors to similar thanks I've heard expressed here tonight. We appreciate the support for the Samaritan Society and for the Children's Protective Services. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip.
Good evening. My name is Derek Stewart. I've lived in Ithaca about 5 years now. And I'm coming just as a taxpayer to say that when I saw this in the news and that the tax rates were possibly going up 7 or 8% for taxpayers, that has me very concerned. As a family member in Ithaca, I find it's a great community, and a lot of these programs are admirable. But we're at a time where the inflation rate is roughly at 0 or 1%, and we're considering increasing a budget by 5 or 6%. And I'm not sure how long you can do that, unless maybe residents in the county could buy in, because it seems like a great inflation rate. I think there needs to be a prioritization of the programs that we can fund. We have limited resources. It would be great if we could support all of them, but I think we need to identify the ones that are key. Because one of my neighbors, they had retired, they'd spent a lot of time repairing their house, it looked beautiful, but then as a retired couple, they found that they could not keep up with the cost of the taxes in this county. And they ended up voting with their feet and they left. And so I think this is an issue we really need to address for the impact it has on all the residents in this county who pay taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Anyone else?
Good evening. My name is Mr. Jose Pilar. I'm here for OIR. I just wanted to state this statement. I had a little incident and I was put in jail. And I was working at the time, and I didn't have a way to get out. And my friend, some guys that were in there with me, they told me about OAR, and I was like, OAR, what is that? So he gave me a number to call, and I called the number. And at the time, I only had like, say, $20 to $50, and my bill was $1,500. So I said, well, how am I gonna get out? So I called her. And the lady name was Maria. She answered the phone. And I explained to her my situation. So she told me it was 90%. So I said, 90%? Oh, I could do that. So, and then what happened, when I went back to trial again, they raised my bail to $2,500. So I said to myself, oh, how am I going to get out? So then I explained my situation to her again when I called the next day. And she said, we'll be able to help you. So it came to be that if it wasn't for them, you know, I would have been in prison for a long time. And as a result of getting out, I have got my job back. I do Channel 13. I do a lot of community help. And I think that as far as the budget is concerned for them, I think that they are very, very strong ties with the community, and they really help a lot of people. There's a lot of people in there that don't really, really belong in there. They get they run into incidents and stuff like that. Excuse me. And, you know, these people help them out a lot. And I was just concerned about that issue. And I really thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose. Anyone else? Thank you all for coming. John?
I'm John Newman, a resident of the town of Ithaca. There's no question that one of the two top responsibilities of this body is to provide needed services. And we are in a time of increasing need for support services in our community, from highways to many, many of the human services that are provided. But there's a second responsibility, and that is to be as efficient in providing every aspect of the work of the county government as possible. And to my knowledge, and I may be a little out of date, a comprehensive program of making every piece of funds and human effort as efficient as possible has not yet been fully implemented throughout the county. It was called for 6 years ago by a citizen advisory group looking at policies and practices of Tompkins County budgeting and management. It was called for again in the last year by almost the same citizen advisory group. So the need is still there. It takes time. It takes leadership. And on behalf of taxpayers who really deserve two kinds of leadership, you meeting the human needs and financial needs and the service needs of this community, but also the efficiency need so that there are no wasted human efforts and there are no wasted dollars, that be part of your leadership active charter as well. I think it's easy for the former to get most of the news and most of the attention. It is very important. But the second part of this still remains an unfinished piece of business. And I hope you take it on in the next year or so and make great strides. Thank you.
Anyone else? Let me mention that the, somebody else, go ahead. Marty?
The people out in the hallway hearing the call for anyone else?
Is there anyone else out in the hallway?
I wasn't sure. I saw somebody okay. Poking your head in a while ago.
We're sorry that this room is so uncomfortable for the public. We really are.
Yeah, good evening. I'm Martin Hatch. I've been a resident town driving the past 40 years. I'm on the board of Cornell Cooperative Extension. I want to thank the legislature for its action in restoring at least a good chunk of the funding for family services and youth services that were removed or that were pending and not authorized. These are essential. One could call them preventative, but they're also essential in providing services that will then pay back in the lack of the need to pay lots more should those services not have been delivered to youth. Commending you once again on behalf myself and my family. As I said, we've been here for 40 years, the same place, paying taxes, quite pleased at the shining example, one could say, that Tompkins County presents in delivering the kind of performing the kind of role as to strengthen community, to strengthen the family and make it a healthy, strong place in which to live. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Anyone else? There's a lot of information on the Tompkins County website if you are interested in learning more. And Marsha Lynch, who's behind Jim there, if you didn't get any of the handouts, you can check with her after, or the public could call her at 274-5551, and she can help you get the information that you like. Thank you all very much for coming. We appreciate all your thoughts, and we'll take them into consideration. Good night. The hearing is closed.